at that point, I was like, these motherfuckers, they almost kill me again.
Hi, welcome to Misadventures. This is Chapter 3. We're going to be talking about the adventure in Escalante National Park, in particular the Red Brick Slot Canyon, as well as the Cosmic Ashtray Geological Feature. With that, my name is Dylan. I have your co-host here.
My name is Jesus Navarro.
Thank you. And we have two others here as well. You'll remember Dave from Chapter 2.
Woo-hoo.
What's up? I'm Dave.
And then we also have a newcomer here, Jordan. He kept us really well fed during it.
Hi, that's true.
Good evening. So a few housekeeping things I just want to mention really quickly. Just know that a lot of the time when we're getting louder, when we're getting more belligerent, when we're talking over each other, it's because we're drinking throughout the entire ordeal. So when a podcast takes 2 hours, just imagine that we have drank quite a bit by that time. So I think that without further ado, we should go ahead and break right into our Red Breaks and Cosmic Ashtray adventure. I'm going to go ahead and give the quick overture. Red Breaks is a non-technical slot canyon. What that means is that it needs no rappels. It required no technical gear. However, that does not mean that it was easy. This was one of the most physically challenging slot canyons I've ever been in. The next part, as far as Cosmic Ashtray, this is a very special and very, really incredible geological formation. I don't know if it's near within Escalante National Monument Park.
It's
depending on your definition of near.
Yeah, it's hard to exactly survey what it is now with the Trump administration and whether it's in or outside. It's very close to Escalante, regardless of whether or not it is still in or outside the national park, monument, whatever they're designating it as today. So we're going to go ahead and start from the very beginning where we pulled up through the Jeep onto the road into our campsite.
All right, as always, I was the driver. The trail itself was very challenging. It rained the day before, maybe even hours before we arrived to the campsite, because the mud was, it was a very difficult trail ride. It took us 40 to an hour minutes to get to the area where we camped. My tires were completely covered in mud. I have no idea how we made it there without any complications of getting stuck. Even though, as my friend Jordan here says, I just kind of step on it and just go for it.
Yeah, the mud was so sticky. And, like, you could hear chunks, like, flying off your tires and, like, hitting the Jeep. And you could, like, feel. It was like we were in a boat.
Yeah, for sure.
And Jesus was just flying. And he knew he couldn't stop or he'd get stuck or slow down. So it was just bumpy and fucking scary.
I mean, my car, as you guys may have heard in Chapter 2, it's not meant to have children inside. They do have a few weapons around the area that, I don't know, you may get poked on. I've had people get poked. I poked myself on my blow dart before.
Every support beam in the internal of the Jeep has sharp things on it.
Also, can we just say phrasing on this? Because Jesus, we know this Jeep is dangerous, all right? Like, I was, again, grabbing onto the OSHA handle. And it was like a boat, I agree. But it definitely was a lot more bumpy. Once again, I'm in the back of Jesus' Jeep, and I'm screaming. Well, in my head, I'm screaming for dear life. I'm like, oh, God, this is it again. What the fuck?
So you remember, literally, a week ago, we talked about Chapter 2. Where Dave's head is bouncing around fucking axes and knives, and we're trying to stay away from nausea. And this is Dave, who agreed to come and do this again, and he's in the same exact spot again.
They told me this time it was going to be a lot less chill. A lot more chill. I'm sorry. Well, it ended up being, like, I think ultimately we went over 18 miles of pure hiking and canyoneering.
For sure.
This was definitely, like, longer distance-wise than last week. The good news is, I'll do a little spoiler. I didn't lose any fingertips in this one. So, I mean, this one was already way better.
So we get in. Everyone talked about, you know, super muddy and mud is flying up everywhere as we're going. That means that it's caked on very hard to the tires. The tires are like perfectly smooth from the mud. That's fairly bad. Yeah, that's super bad if you want to get around in the desert. So once we get there, we're not thinking of set up camp. We're thinking, man, the car's kind of fucked. We need to make sure we can get to the canyon tomorrow. So we all grab, I don't know about all of us. I think a couple start setting up camp. I think it's either me or Dave or me or Jordan. It's definitely not Jesus. We grab little twigs and we start grabbing the mud. We start getting mud out from the tires.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's all the three of us. So Jesus is the only fucker setting up camp.
Fine.
Yeah. He's like, no, it's fine. And we're like, no, we want to survive. So the three of us, me, Dylan, and Jordan and Dave, we grab things, whatever, various objects in the area. We start getting all the mud out of his tires so that we can make it safely. We're maybe doing this for 5 or 10 minutes. And then it starts raining heavily. This is like probably the worst thing that could possibly happen while you're trying to set up camp.
Yeah, I mean, the conditions were terrible. So everybody had their own tent, and Jordan here, he can definitely explain to you how he managed to sleep comfortably. I didn't. My sleeping bag got super wet and I was not comfortable. It was muddy. It was just a really shitty time, especially when it's raining. I mean, there's just like, all right, it's kind of late. I do have to set it up now or it's going to get dark. And so I ran out of options.
You guys brought a huge tarp to like make shade, to put our backpacks and our food in and stuff. And there was just like a bunch of bushes laying around, a little tree. And you guys put that big old tarp over them. So I saw an opportunity to hang my little hammock up underneath the tarp. And then it started raining. And I was pretty happy that I had just like a, I don't know how big that thing. It was like 50 by 50. But I had no raindrops on me that night. It was great. I was comfy in my hammock.
We definitely prepared. I did not mention this in chapter 1 or chapter 2, but chapter 3 is the way to go. I am the fire master.
Fuck you. All right.
I pride myself.
We got Cody Lundin over here.
Actually, I don't mind that title. I pride myself on starting the fire fairly quickly. I think 4 seconds is my max.
Your max? Fuck you.
You have flint.
I use a flint and steel. That's it. I refuse to bring lighters. That's my philosophy. It doesn't always work because I've been to Yellowstone once. It was completely raining.
That's not the only time.
A few other times. But either way, I was able to provide a fire to my people. And Jordan himself was able to provide me food and compensating me.
I had a lighter at this point because I still do not trust these motherfuckers after last week. Oh,
I refuse to use ladders, period. Anyway, Jordan, I don't know how the hell he does it, but he has this particular way of cooking and camping. It's just exquisite.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with the Dutch oven, honestly.
Yeah, there's still a skill to it, though, for sure. So I don't want to just paint Jordan as a pure like chef because he was also very solid in the canyon and outside of the canyon. But I would say that was like the primary skill he brought that we didn't already have. Sometimes we would eat garbage. And at this point, we didn't have to eat garbage, which is awesome.
I remember the first time I went shopping with you guys for camping. I was with Jesus, and he just got a bunch of cans of beans and a package of bratwurst.
Yes.
And that was it. I was like, do you think we're going to need like other stuff? Like you know, like some fiber or something, or like, I don't know. And Jesus was like, nah, this is all we eat. And I was like, all right. I think I'll bring my Dutch oven and we'll cook you guys some food and see what you think, if it adds to the experience at all.
So I just want to add that this is like, it's part of a tradition. We're later in the future. We're planning on doing an entire episode based on traditions we do every time we go outside. So this will be included. Part of it is like sausages and beans. But it's true that that alone, like, is not a particularly hearty meal. like when Jordan came, our food game increased exponentially.
How did you like the food, Dave?
Yeah, Dave, how were you into it?
Oh, I was just eating it. All of it. And I'm glad, yeah, I am glad that Jordan came. Not just because of the food, but yeah, the food was definitely an upgrade. But yeah, I felt like we were more professional with Jordan. Yeah, we were like more organized. We had the food, like the cooler was underneath the tarp, and that was a good move.
Definitely Jordan was a huge addition to our camping style as well. As our outdoor style, I mean, Jordan himself has a lot of experience in the outdoors, mostly mountaineering, right?
Like, mountaineering?
Like mountains.
You guys gotta remember that I was a Boy Scout for a lot of years, so I did a lot of stuff. I wasn't a great Boy Scout, but I was on all the trips, so I learned some stuff.
So that definitely came in handy when we were trying to get a little more civilized in our way of eating as well as performing.
Except one thing. I thought I was just getting like all into this like Jordan's Kitchen out in the desert little thing going on. And I made some pork chops with some potatoes and carrots, right? And I put a bunch of like seasonings and herbs in there with it. But I remember I saw a sagebrush plant, and I was like, sage, that's a seasoning. I was like, okay, so I'll grab this sage, and I'll pick it off, and I'll put it in, and we'll give it a nice little sage flavor. Well, it didn't really turn out herb. It's not the same thing. Mm-hmm. So Jesus really learned that the hard way, because he like grabbed the whole sprig of sage and put it in his mouth and went, and gagged on it. And I was like, oh shit, that's probably not the same kind of sage.
It looks like pork, I don't know.
What the fuck? It's a herb.
It's a herb, hey, so it's just eat it.
Yeah, do you hear that? Hard H herb? Whatever. First night was a lot better than in the past. The first night is always like pretty fun and pretty exciting. You're getting ready for the next day. You're predicting the weather. You're setting up camp. You're chopping wood. You're thinking, oh, what's tomorrow going to be like? It's a lot of guesswork, but it's fun guesswork. And as we said earlier, it rained a little bit, but we were able, for the most part, everyone was able to set up camp. So we slept very comfortably after eating very well.
I was wet.
So were you wet, like?
My feet were wet.
Okay. I didn't know if...
I was not very comfortable, but... I mean...
So you weren't...
No, let me rephrase this, because let's say I was drinking and I was fairly... drunk, and so at some point I was not able to really feel anything.
Jesus was, yeah, very drunk at this point, and his tent somehow got so wet. I don't know what happened. So, did he set it up right, or what?
So Jesus, he was pretty, like, that's the thing, is every time we go out, we're bringing alcohol with us. Sometimes it's to have a really fun time. In this case, it was four of us, like, we're trying to have a really fun time. Jordan had just graduated university. Like, there's no better time to have a fun time than that.
That's great.
So, yeah. So, we had a really good time. Jesus had a lot to drink. But, of course, the water always gets in the way.
It does. And...
So, I want to hear about your tent and how it filled up with water. because normally, tents, like, water just falls outside of them. But that wasn't the case with you.
I'm assuming you gotta talk shit like, about the formation of my tent, and I'll give you that treat. So, the thing is that I bought this tent at Big Five. It was clearance out. It was nice. I mean, it was just a two-person tent.
How many states are Big Five located in? Because I don't think it's super popular, but it's in a few.
There is a lot in California, stationed in California, but it's all the way in the west, all the way down to, I believe, Idaho, if I'm not
mistaken. Okay, so it's not like, it's not a national, but it's big.
Are they paying us?
No, we're going to get, hey, Big Five, let's get some sponsorships after we tell a story about your tent leaking.
Yeah, this is like 45 seconds.
Anyhow, I mean, this particular tent was a two-person, However, it was kind of interesting because it kind of it goes a long way, and then it has like a little living room in the center, meaning that it's kind of flat, and then it kind of goes up.
You have a living room in your tent?
Yeah.
That's a super bad description.
Why did you see this?
It's gone. Luis,
we saw it. It was terrible.
The thing is that if it rains on, and I didn't set it up, it was my first time setting it up, so I guess everybody makes mistakes. The water piled on the tent where my body is, and it just didn't stop.
So the water, was it, so when it was building up, was it below, like it was below your tent?
It was below the tent, but I had a tarp underneath my tent, so that was not the problem. The problem was that it was piling on top of my tent.
So it was raining way heavier than we were expecting.
I remember more than just it raining. Were you right next to a vertical rock wall where the water was falling off from above from about 40 feet down?
Yes.
So there was a lot more water than normal.
I was trying to avoid that little mistake that I did there. But yes, I did camp next to a wall where when it rains, of course, water drops. And
that wall was awesome, though.
It was awesome. We need to climb that.
That wall was, we were camped in this nice, flat, sandy area, but there was this nice little cliff rising up right next to us. And it was flat on the top, just kind of like a little plateau rising up. And we could hike up to the top of it if we walked around. You could climb all the way up and look down on our little camp circle. It was beautiful.
It was a really pretty morning.
Yeah, so mentioned in the last podcast, we said we were going to post pictures. I'm in the process of creating a Flickr account where we're going to actually have multiple sets of pictures for each adventure. For this one in particular, the area of our campsite was, I mean, Jordan just said it was incredible. So we'll include that, like the wall, when the sun hit it.
It was just mesmerizing, yeah. Completely orange. Great.
So, Red Breaks, it's not a technical canyon. There's no rappels. We didn't have to bring a rope. Ropes are heavy as hell. So that is great. The one thing in all the past adventures with Jesus and I, the main argument was who the fuck is going to carry the rope? Like, we had to fight so many times about who has to carry it and switching it back and forth. Never had to worry about it this time. Also, no puddles that contained water. We didn't have to worry about climbing in and out of pools of water. We didn't have to worry about wetsuits, none of that. So you can think about this as pure as a slot canyon gets. It's very dry, pure sandstone, but these are very difficult physical tasks. You are asked to squeeze through very tight areas. You are asked to do this while you're climbing over boulders. It's fairly difficult for a non-technical slot canyon. And that's what we do the next day. So we wake up and we have breakfast. It's not any breakfast, but it's a really great one cooked by Jordan.
Yeah.
I think it was mostly eggs and sausage, but Jordan, do you remember?
It was taco, like a burrito.
This is like a really typical like scout camp breakfast that you have, like, they call it mountain man breakfast. It's just like eggs and onions and bell peppers. I think there's some potatoes in there. Can't remember, but it's like a just nice skillet scramble type thing.
Yeah.
Gets us ready for the day.
Exactly. We got all our protein, fat, whatever. We got everything we needed.
All right. So I remember waking up. I was nervous. After that last time I had gone canyoneering, I was like, oh, God. These motherfuckers. I agreed to this again. Like, if you guys heard the second episode or chapter, I'm sorry.
It's chapter bitch.
Listen. Shut the fuck up. It's episode number 2. You will know, like, I had a shitty experience canyoneering my first time. And for some reason, I agreed to go again. And why did I agree to go again? I don't fucking know. Like, again, what am I doing putting my lives in Jesus and Dylan's hands? Like, at this point, like, I felt a little bit better that Jordan was here. But at the same time, I knew that these motherfuckers planned it. And what am I getting into?
I feel like that's a very good complaint. Any reasonable person would have the same complaint. Like, these two fuckers almost killed me. Jordan's here. Maybe he'll keep me safe. But I don't know. I just met him. So I think it's a very good. I think that's a very good complaint. But the thing is, we all survived and we had a great time. So we start off in the morning. We have a great breakfast and then we get on the path.
Dave says that you guys hiked 18 miles. Was that your intention in the first place? Were you going to camp?
I don't know that it was 18 miles. It was far for sure. Like, when I think about when we reach our end, when we reach our camp, it was far.
It was a lot. My legs hurt, guys.
Yeah.
Like, I was dragging it for a long time.
Yeah.
In the rain.
Personally, I believe it was many miles. I want to point out that I was
many hung. Isn't a number.
Well, I don't know.
I
was
18.
Like Dave saying 18, you're like many.
I was hungover. I'm not gonna count the miles. I was feeling like shit from the start. I was just not having it, not looking forward to it.
All right, I remember we were all pretty concerned about the weather. Okay, in about 2 hours, it was gonna definitely rain pretty good.
Yeah, weird.
And going in a slot canyon, if you don't know, rain is bad. Like, rain comes down the slot canyon, and it comes from above you. Fuck rain.
Yeah, it'll flood you right out, you know? It all just collects in that crack in the earth, and it could just drown you, and it'll just come out of nowhere. And it had already been raining the night before, so we were worried about it because the sky didn't look clear. But the trailhead wasn't too far from where we were camping, so we only had to walk like a few hundred feet, and we were at the trailhead. Once we got there, we signed in, and we had on the like little trailhead sign in, but the paper was all wet, and there was only like a little shitty pencil. But I made sure we got in there.
All right. So remember that we had this vendetta to find this dude that was ahead of us.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I don't remember.
It was something funny, though.
They were signed in right before us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we found our bandana on the way back.
Bandana,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And so let's give him a name. His name was John.
Really?
I think his name was like Charles or something.
Charles, yeah.
Yeah,
Charles,
but he was
fine.
Definitely a key point in the story.
Charles.
Remember how we were just...
I remember yelling the name. Yeah.
Yeah, so let's mention that as well, because that's how we found his name on the list.
So we sign in, paper's all wet, pencil's tiny and shitty, and it's like kind of broken. I think I got our names down there, even if I carved it into the book.
We saw people right before us, someone named Charles. We thought, okay, we needed to catch up with Charles. I don't know why, but we just felt the need to exercise our athletic ability to show that, like, oh, we could catch up with you, Charles. So
we wanted to haze him.
Yeah.
We were yelling Charles at the slot canyon, and it was just echoing through the slot canyon. That would freak me out. Someone was behind me yelling my name.
I think it's probably true. So we all have our rain jackets on. And we start up the canyon because the outlook beforehand says it's going to rain a little. We think, okay, a few drops, it's fine. We'll put our rain jackets on and go. So we start up the canyon, and at first, it's super easy. Everything's very dry. It's a dry wash. We're just moving up. We're going along the canyon looking until it gets really interesting. And then we get to the very fun part. But we're climbing over boulders, we're doing a little bit of stemming, it's not super intense, but this, at this point, feels very different from anything we've done.
I was feeling good. I felt good. So we're walking in there, and I'm like, alright, like, that last trip, that's bullshit, that's not happening again. I came into this way stronger. I was already in good shape in the last one, but I at least knew what I was getting into this time. Last time, I had no idea what the fuck happened. Jesus or Dylan was getting me into. But yeah, we're just walking down this wash. It was good. We're all in good spirits.
Yeah, no, exactly. We're having a good time. And good time doesn't mean that it's like easy and there's nothing to do. It means we're having fun. We're jumping over boulders. We're doing a little bit of stemming, not too much. So as we go through, we get to certain points. We get at one point that's an obvious drop-off. We take a few pictures. It's fun. But then we keep going up, and eventually it gets very, very, very thin. The canyon is no longer friendly. At this point, the canyon becomes an enemy. At this point, me, Dave, Jordan, we're able to go up, but it's still chest to back, and it's squeezing us. We're still having a very difficult time getting up through these areas. And Jesus, who has a significantly larger chest, is having a significantly harder time getting through these slots.
Yeah, I was, as usual, when it comes to these slot canyons, I don't know why I don't hate them. I love them, but they're very, very frightening. I'm not claustrophobic, as I mentioned in chapter 2. And it still stands. It's just so obnoxious not being able to fit through things and seeing my friends go through like nothing. I was particularly hungover in this trip from the very beginning when it started getting like in the stemming part. I mean, you're looking at 12 feet drop, 15 feet drop. And I remember it so well because I still have a scar on my leg. Is that I just missed my footing. So I dropped, somehow mid the splits, caught myself between the rocks again, and somehow I hit my shin against the boulder. My leg is puffy, pulsing, and bleeding. And I'm so hungover that I don't even realize like what just happened here.
Yeah, I had an above view of that. I was just ahead of you. And so I was already on top of this chalk stone. And I don't know if you guys have mentioned this in 1 and 2, but chalk stones
are... No, explain it. Yeah, explain it.
Chalk stones are these huge boulders that got wedged in the slot canyon. So the slot canyons can range anywhere from smaller than Jesus's chest girth to 50 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
But... they're huge, huge boulders, and a lot of the times we're in this maybe 4 foot wide slot canyon, 5 foot wide, and a big boulder is lodged in there, and you have to climb over it to get to the other side and continue down the canyon. Well, Jesus climbs up this big boulder, and it was kind of slippery, it's sandy, like there's wet sand stuck on the boulder, which makes it kind of grainy and slippery. And I was just about to give Jesus a hand to come up, and he slipped, just like in the movies, like he fell down, slid down, kind of bounced off the rocks on each side. And yeah, he messed his leg up pretty good. It was bleeding.
It was not something that you would want when you go.
It did not slow me down, though. It did not slow me down.
His leg was pretty puppy.
So we get to these few points. There's a few like difficult parts where maybe someone as skinny as me, so I'm very small.
No, yeah, you guys are bitches, but yeah, you guys have a little bit more height on me.
Yeah. So we're going up, and most of us are able to fit through fairly easily. But we get to certain points eventually to where it's difficult. Sometimes it's difficult for Jesus, sometimes it's difficult for me, whatever. Eventually, we get all the way through, and then we start being able to walk just straight. And this is a blessing at first until we get to some people who don't want us to continue.
Well,
and these people are not people.
People.
Yeah.
Who are you talking about people?
Yeah. I would say that the people we come into are not exactly people, but there are other folks who they don't want us along.
Yeah, so I think at this point, I was in the front. We took turns kind of being in the front, and the canyon's getting kind of narrow. And there's a little chalk stone. It's probably like five or six feet tall, so, you know, about as tall as we are, so it's not like you can just step right onto it. I get up to this chalk stone, and there's two owls. Not full-grown owls, and not baby owls, but little fledgling owls that just started to get their feathers, but they weren't big enough to fly yet. And they're sitting on this rock, and they are not happy about us coming towards them, and they're not going to let us on this chalk stone.
Their talons are huge. They're very small in stature, but their talons look like they could slice you open.
Yeah, I know you think, oh, some owls. These are bitch-made owls. Like, no, dude. Like, you're not coming at these owls.
When they're hissing?
When they expand their wingspan, they're, like, 4 or 5 feet, like, long. Like, with some sharp-ass talons like you guys are talking about. Like, no one's coming at them. Like, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, we picked up some rocks and tried to get them out. But what are you really going to do? Like...
We're chucking these little pebbles at them. We're not throwing rocks at them. They're baby owls. We felt for them, but Jesus kept yelling,
get out the way, you fucking headwigs.
And it wasn't working.
I was in pain. I needed to go. We had to move him.
We're yelling at them for quite some time, and eventually they decide, I don't know how they made this decision, but eventually they jump off the boulder and onto the canyon wall a little below them. So we're still a little nervous because we're maybe 10 feet away from them, but we have to get around them.
The big thing about those owls that really very, very much scared me was that this one in particular was ready to launch at us. Oh. He set up in a position, an attack position. You could just tell. It was just natural. Like, holy shit, he's coming at me. His wings were just ready to launch and attack if necessary. But as Dylan mentioned, they hit away.
So is everyone on the chalk stone at this point? Is everyone just standing facing these owls?
So the owls were on the chalk stone. And that was the shitty thing, is that was the only way to go. These owls were in the only spot we had to go. And keep in mind, we knew it was going to rain at some point. So we had to go. Like, we can't be hanging out.
Yeah.
There's no way to turn it back.
We had spent hours in the slot canyon at this point. We were not going backwards. And these fledgling owls were kind of ruining everything. So we sat there and we argued with them for a while until they eventually jumped off the chalk stone. So we kept going, and it's very gray up above. We're trying to hurry as fast as we can to get out. And as we're trying to hurry, we're checking the GPS. And eventually we see, hey, we're inside Red Break Slot Canyon, but we're trying to get to the cosmic ashtray, and we notice that we can exit this canyon, so we exit. And we've gotten past these birds who are inside the slot canyon, but then as soon as we get out, I would say 3 minutes after we get out of the slot canyon, it's been gray the entire time, it starts raining, and it starts raining hard.
So even before we got out, I remember Jesus getting stuck again. We had to pull him out again, and it wasn't... Jesus is not a fat guy. I'm not trying to say he's fat.
He's barrel-chested.
Yeah, he's just got a big chest. Like, he's strong. He's a muscular Mexican man. I respect him. He's got a great beard right now.
Thank you.
However, when it gets skinny, he's not the best. And we have to just pull him and push him through. Like, and it happened again, just like last week in Paradiso. Where we were talking about how we had to pull him through. Again, we had to use some teamwork and get Jesus through. He's worth it, but it's still a struggle.
Yeah. There's a lot of stress in there to where we have to get Jesus out, the clouds are getting darker, the owls are in our way, and we finally get out of there.
I just want to address getting out of the canyon. I remember getting out of the slot canyon was no small task either. It wasn't like we could just take a left turn with a little fork in the road. It was like, no, we have to climb out of here, and it's not easy. And I had to pull Dave out at one point.
Was I struggling? I don't remember that.
Well, I remember that we get out of the skinny slot canyon. I remember we had to climb up this little tiny ravine, but it was like kind of starting to rain.
It's pretty steep.
And the dirt was just kind of like a bunch of gravel just barely held together by some mud, and it was starting to get wet, and it was falling apart, and it was starting to rain harder. Well, Dave was the last one to come out, and all the earth that he could grab onto that we all used was crumbling.
So we had to
lay on my belly and pull him out so he could get out of there before the flash flood came. Definitely a flash flood happened right after we got out.
There's no way it didn't. We get out of there, and it's 5 minutes later. It is hailing so bad. So we went from completely dry to where it's hailing so bad that we can't go anywhere. So we take refuge behind a few bushes. We all put up our hoods, whoever has the hoods at least. We hang out for a minute. We hang out there for
hailing
a little bit.
Hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Very hard. Like, hail is starting to cover the ground. The ground is turning from red to white. It's in a few minutes. It's crazy. And you can see little waterfalls forming on all the rocks. And it was kind of intense. I was glad we had our little refuge.
And I was like, oh my gosh, thank God we got the fuck out of there. Because honestly, I was like, at that point, I was like, these motherfuckers, they almost kill me again. Like, if we were a half hour, if we had waited for those owls and not thrown, I mean, everyone wants to say we didn't throw rocks at them, but I was throwing them at the owls because, honestly...
You fucking... No animals were harmed in this.
Listen, it was them or us, okay? You heard it here first.
Did you really kill?
No, we didn't
kill them.
No,
okay.
Honestly, we didn't actually hit that hole.
They were pebbles. They were bouncing right off.
So we get out of the slot. It's raining heavily. We all take refuge for a few, I'd say somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes. And then after that point, we think, okay, it's time to move along. So at this point, it's the series of obstacles are like very strange and different, because sometimes we're just moving across the desert. Sometimes we're moving up and down boulders. Basically, we're trying to get to the cosmic ashtray. And this is a geologic feature that is separate from the canyon. So we finished the canyon, we got out, and we need to get to this particular geological feature.
The cosmic ashtray was quite difficult to find, actually, even with coordinates that we had and directions. We were struggling to find it. It was wet, it was gloomy, and it in itself, we were not exactly sure what we were looking for. As far as how it looks like. We only knew the interior, but not the exterior. It took us quite a while, about like 30 to an hour, minutes, I don't know, but we eventually found it.
Just because I don't know if anyone's explained what exactly the cosmic ashtray looks like. It's a really big sandstone bowl. So imagine a bowl in the earth, like a big crater. And it's made of white sandstone, and then it's full of bright orange sand that blew in there from other parts of the geography. But the thing is, there's a shitload of white sandstone around, right? And there's not a lot of... Everything starts to look like a bowl. So we're pretty much going off this GPS and about how far we've traveled, and Dylan's navigating us. And it is getting difficult because it's raining, and everything is kind of just flat and rolling, and you can't really see a lot of distinguishing features in the distance.
The rain, it's coming on and off. We're looking for it, and things are, like, it's slick rock, so the more we're going towards it, the more it's getting slick, because we're going at an upward angle. But eventually we get to it. Eventually, after, I would say, we get out of the canyon, it's a solid hour after. We've been going up and down different sandstone, and eventually we get to it. We see this downward approach into what's called the cosmic ashtray. And some people have drilled holes into it so that you can climb your way in and out. Dave and I, we decide, okay, we need to separate the team a little bit. We need to make sure we all don't get stuck inside. So Dave and I, we stay outside. Jordan and Jesus, they go down.
Yeah, I mean, let me describe this view a little bit. It was the cosmic ashtray is just beautiful. Such a beautiful natural feature. It was, wow, mesmerizing. So Jordan and I, as Dylan mentioned, we decided to go down and explore a little bit because, I mean, that's what we're here for. The decision between, I don't know, I just wanted to go down. I don't know, I was just down for that. Going down, it's very, very steep, very, very scary, but somehow we managed to get all the way down. I remember dropping a few feet, but I made it.
Yeah, like the cosmic ashtray has a lot of, like I was mentioning, sand in the bottom. So getting down, me and Jesus wanted to go in there because it's awesome. Like the sand in the bottom of it is really deep and really fine. You can tell just by looking at it. And so getting down was easy because we just slid right on down into this bowl and onto this soft sand. And it really felt so good. It was so silky, so smooth. And we went where it was dry, where there were some overhangs, and we climbed on this big sand dune that's in the middle of this maybe 80-yard across bowl. Well, so we had a good time in there, but we had to get out eventually, and that was where we started having problems.
And right when Dylan and I had came up onto the cosmic ashtray, I saw how steep it was. I was like, it looks fun in there. But honestly, I did not want to climb up there. I was tired. We had just gone through a whole canyon, and we were walking, and it hailed on us. I was fucking dogging it. That's where I was at. I was like, listen, you guys go play around in there. I'm staying up here. Like, fuck you guys. I had no ambition to go down there.
So Dave and I, we stay at the top of the canyon, and Jordan and Jesus, they go down. It's been a few minutes. They've explored around, and then it starts raining a little bit again. So we think, okay, we need to get out of here. We need to get back towards camp. We really needed to get to camp today, so we need you two to get it out. And as far as the cosmic ashtray goes, Jordan was able to get out. It's not an easy ascent. You have to climb out of the little holes that were drilled in the side of the wall. And Jordan luckily is able to go before the rain goes too hard, so he gets it out. We're almost all out except for Jesus. and then the rain really starts.
So this perspective, this was me at the bottom of the bowl. Everybody's up there. Jordan made it. And it starts to pour. I'm just getting wet and I'm just freezing. So my hands, I could not feel them. So I climb up about 12 feet. That's where the little steps stop. And then you just have to kind of either bear crawl or just kind of run, sprint towards the edge of the bowl. And at this point, it's pouring. I have these rubbery shoes and I'm thinking, this is, if I fucking go, I'm gonna slip down and I'm gonna fall like 20 feet and I'm not down for that. At this point, I'm stuck in this last step and I'm just yelling, Dylan, get the rope. The rope that has saved us for so many trips. Dylan just doesn't hesitate. I think he's wet, he's cold, and the rope is wet and it's tangled, and I'm just begging for the rope so I can be rescued.
It's fucking pouring, and I'm grabbing the rope out of the bag and I'm tying as fast as I can. I'm tying a double fisherman into one to side, and I'm thinking, okay, we can't let the rope go down over here. So I tie it, I get tossed to him. Within 3 to 4 minutes, my hands are completely numb. I have sleet and everything pouring right onto my hands. They're exposed. I can't feel anything, but I'm throwing this rope to Jesus. And he's barely grabbing onto it from the side of where the steps end. So he's only pulling himself up by the rope where I'm holding it, where it's anchored. And Dave's over there too. He's also helping while this goes on.
And it is pouring. Like, these guys have not really said how bad it's raining. We're on this steep ass, like, slick rock. There is no, like, you can have the most treads on your shoes. It doesn't matter. You're sliding down this bitch. And we got to pull up Jesus, who is by far, I mean, again, he's not fat. But let's be serious. He's the biggest party of our fucking group. And we got to pull him up this, like, pretty much vertical rock face. And it is pouring. It is just coming down.
Okay, so finally, after a little bit, we're up there, we're tying knots, my hands are going numb.
It was not a little bit. I was there for like 10 minutes waiting for you. I was so desperate and so cold, and the time was so slow that I was telling Dylan, if you don't drop this now, I cannot hold on anymore. I'm dropping. That's how long it took. I was using every strength in me not to fall. My muscles were tired, my hands were numb, and my fear was just at its peak.
This was all slick rocks. There's pretty much nowhere to set an anchor. So I think eventually there was a very, very, very small anchor, but Dave and I ended up being meat anchors, basically. So, but it worked. Jesus was able to pull himself out. By the time we got to the top of the actual steps from the Cosmic Gas Tray, is maybe 10 feet. It's stupid because as we were pulling him out, it was hailing, it was snowing, it was insane. And probably 10, 15 minutes after, stopped. The weather was calm. We just walked from the Cosmic Gas Tray back to our camp slot. It was a very chill walk.
So after everything happened and we were on our way back, we never found Charles, who again was the person that was a...
We were screaming his name,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
We were trying to find him.
Charles!
We literally hoped he was okay because there was no way those slot canyons that we were into were not flash flood. Probably the owls died. I hoped that they flew away happy.
Wait. We walked out of, like, once we followed this road all the way back to our camp, right before mm-hmm. we got to the camp,
yeah.
there was a river, a raging river.
Yes.
Like, seriously, we were a little nervous to cross it because we didn't know how deep
we needed
this thing
sticks
was.
Before we crossed
we
it.
We got big old sticks so we could ford this river.
Yeah.
And we were like, first, it was coming out of the slot canyon that we had just traveled up because we did kind of a big loop. Well, we were sure those owls were dead.
If they were alive at all, like, they have to have been some kind of gods. Because by the time we got back across how fast the river was going, anything else that was not a human would have been fucked.
And we came up on this river, and we're walking, like I said, 18 miles round trip. That's what we did. Fuck what you guys said. I looked it up because I didn't trust you guys at this point, so I looked it up on Google. But anyways, we came across this stream, and it was really a raging river. And I'm not a strong swimmer. Keep this in mind, listeners. Because I'll do a cannoneer, but I am not a good swimmer. And these guys are like, oh yeah, we just cross it. And I was like, fuck if I'm crossing that. That thing is moving, dude. And we get in there and I threw my shoe. We all threw our shoes across it and stuff so we wouldn't get those wet. Because I remember after last time, you don't want to get your shoes wet. Anyways, so we're coming through. I'm getting tossed by this river. I'm like, oh shit, I'm done. It wasn't too bad, but you knew those owls were gone. Like, that was the first thing I thought. Number one was, I can't swim that well. Number two was, oh, those owls are fucked.
I thought about helping those owls, man. I really did.
Yeah.
But they were not for it. They were not for it.
They would rather kill us, yeah.
Yeah.
So after this, there weren't any, like, huge, like, mistakes that were life or death. But we definitely learned some things that could help us. So I want to go ahead into the lessons learned.
All right. Don't get into slot canyon hungover. Stay sharp. Be hydrated.
Jordan?
If you're ever going to drop into something, if you're going down, make sure you have a for sure plan to get back up. You know, if you're stuck somewhere, you're stuck there for good unless you can get someone to help you back up. And they might not be there. And even if they are, they might not be able to do it. So think before you get too excited about doing a snow angel in the cosmic ashtray.
And once again, please don't trust Dylan or Hazy's.
Fuck you.
Again, not like I trusted them again, but we were still probably within a half hour of dying in a fucking flash flood. And like, we definitely minimized it in our podcast, but we were very close to getting stuck in that hail rainstorm in the shit. Like, if we hadn't pressed those owls to move the fuck out of our way, we would have been there. Like, and I do not regret having them speed up a little bit. Like, they just moved over to the side. We didn't fuck with them once they were off the chalk zone. We just needed them to get the fuck out of our way so we can get going. Again, be careful who your guides are. Do your own research. Listen and look up on Google Maps how far your guys are going to be going, because we went about 18 miles.
So, for sure, like Dave mentioned, I would say the getting out of the canyon before a flash flood is very necessary. And that would be the main lesson that I learned from this, is that you want to pay attention to the weather, you want to pay attention to when it's falling and where it's falling, because you want to know if you're going to face a flash flood. it could be hitting you miles ahead. Like, it could be raining 3 miles down the wash, but it's still going to hit you an hour later. And we, that wasn't exactly with us. Like, it rained onto us heavy, but after we hit the Slough Canyon. So we knew by the time we got out of the canyon, like, we kind of fucked up. Like, even though we're out, we shouldn't, this shouldn't be happening to us.
But also YOLO, guys.
Yeah.
I'm not saying take big risks and be dangerous. You know, there was a little bit of blue in the sky. And when we had lunch, there was a waterfall right next to us. And it was beautiful. And there was yucca plants growing with big, giant white blooms on it. A tower about 4 feet tall of flowers. Big white flowers. And we had lunch next to this waterfall after it rained and it started to clear up. It was worth it.
It was majestic as fuck. I don't want to, like, yeah, we had gotten out safely, but it could have been a half hour, give or take, and we would have been done. And that's all I was trying to get out. It was definitely majestic as fuck, but it was dangerous at the same time.
And I just want to point out, as they say, enjoy the little things. Have a good time.
So all of this, I think, is a really good contrast between safety and enjoyment, to where it's up to you to pick. Like, are you willing to go into these situations and risk your safety for these things you'll never experience otherwise? Do you want to be able to eat lunch next to these beautiful flowers that are sprouting? Or would you rather not go at all, or would you rather just sprint through? We will continually make the decision to take generally most, the prettiest path, the path to where we're able to see the most, where we're able to climb the most. And this is just in general the path we decide to take. Other people, they might take the path that is the easiest or safest. The Misadventures Podcast, we're here to take the path where we make mistakes and where we will learn things. So this is where we're going to end Misadventures Chapter 3. And I want to give everyone an option to say anything they might want to add at the end of this podcast.
I remember, speaking of beautiful things, flowers, waterfalls, there was also a really big rainbow at one point. If you've never seen a rainbow after a big rainstorm in the Red Rock Desert, that is probably the most colors you'll ever see in nature. A whole range of colors. It was beautiful.
Yeah, and I agree. Jordan hits the nail on the head. If you're not willing to risk things in these environments, you're not going to get the rewards.
Or biscuit.
Or what?
Or the biscuit.
Risk it to get the biscuit.
Yeah, or the biscuit. And I think Dave might have a similar philosophy as well.
So you guys are probably wondering, why do I still keep going on Canyon Trips? And I'm asking myself that same question right now. And honestly, part of me is like, you're a dumb motherfucker. Like, that is why I keep doing that. But the other part of me is saying, these trips have taught a lot. Like, I've just learned so much about myself. And you can't really learn that in a classroom. You can't learn that from a job. But when you're in this experience where, I don't know, like, is this the right decision to make? Are we going to, like, life or death? Do we need to scramble up this, or do we keep going? Or do we throw a rock at this owl? What do we do right here?
You take risks every day. You drive in your car. You could get in a car accident and die. I think that way would suck. I want to die in a flash flood in a Slough Canyon.
I respect
that. You know
what
I mean? Like, I don't want to, but if I have to die, which, you know what? Ain't none of us escaping that. I want to die in a Slough Canyon or falling off a cliff or something where I was doing what I loved and not in a car accident or from cancer or some bullshit like that.
I think it's a very, very good point, and all we have left to speak with us is Jesus.
Definitely stay safe out there. Definitely expect chapter 4 here pretty soon. This is going to be the closing ceremony right now. It was a pleasure having you guys. Is there any questions from the crowd at all?
It's not a question, but I'm coming on another chapter, so I know that I said I'm skeptical about these fuckers, but let's send it. Like, let's keep doing it. I had fun.
Okay, so I think we're going to go ahead and end chapter 3 of Misadventures right there. you have been listening to the episode regarding Red Breaks and the Cosmic Ashtray. Now we have Jesus, myself, Jordan, and Dave here. We've explained our adventure, we've explained the problems. If you have any questions, comments, make sure to leave them in the podcast. Subscribe if you enjoy it. But thank you, though. We are Misadventures. This has been Chapter 3.
Two feathers between a rock and a hard place.
What? Yes! Yes!